Pick up your copy of God's Word and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is where our text will be, and we're going to be looking at some stories in this chapter, three stories that Jesus tells, and these are familiar stories, but yet very important stories. Grace for the lost. Notice that Jesus is speaking to tax collectors and sinners, and they were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus has to address, and he wants to address, those who are lost. He's speaking to those who are rampant sinners. They are wicked, worldly people. These are the tax collectors who are greedy and selfish, and those that are just in the general category of sinners. But he's also speaking to those who are self-righteous, to those who think they are far better than these tax collectors and sinners. So it's in this context, this is his audience, if you will, that Jesus will tell four stories. We may say three stories, but I want to notice it more as four stories. The first story is the story of the lost sheep. And then we have the lost coin. And then there's the lost son. And then there is the self-righteous older brother. And so Jesus is going to be able to address the needs of his audience by telling these four stories. Notice that the emphasis Jesus is going to focus upon is the word lost. It appears numerous times in the text. If you open up your copy of God's Word, you'll see that in verse number 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them?" In verse number 6, you'll find it again. "When he comes home and calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.'" In verse number 8, "The coin is lost." In verse number 9, "She finds the coin and then rejoices because what was lost has now been found." And then in verse number 24, "When the prodigal son returns home, the father says, 'My son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And then to conclude the chapter, verse 32, "It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says he came to seek and save that which was lost. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible would speak of our salvation. And it says in verses 8 and following that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And then listen to this. Verse 12. "Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world." Is there a scarier term in the English language than the word lost? I have four kids, and I know it's a parent's fear, especially in our world we live in today. And I noticed recently there was another Amber Alert and missing children, and that goes on in our world and our nation from time to time. Children that are lost. And then we often fear they're abducted or that they have been taken. But then even if you just are out Christmas shopping here in the next few weeks, and if it's just for a short time, for 5 minutes, that your child is lost in the mall, boy, it's very scary, isn't it? Spiritually, the term is even far graver, isn't it? Lost, without hope, and without God. Grace for the lost is what this lesson is about, and it's what Luke 15 is about. You see, Jesus is going to tell us three stories about lost people and about even an older brother who is going to be lost because of his self-righteousness and leaves the Father, and the Father has to go out and get him again. Have you been lost? Have you been lost physically? Really, the more important question is, are you lost spiritually? Notice that the lost in our chapter, back to Luke 15, the lost are, first of all, aimless. Sheep are wandering around. In verse 3 and following, we notice that this one sheep has left the 99. Maybe he got out of the fold in some way. They had a fold that they often kept sheep in. Or maybe he wandered off while the shepherd was busy doing something else. But for whatever reason, the sheep had aimlessly wandered away, just like sheep tend to do from time to time. Many people in our world are lost because they're going through life purposeless and aimlessly. There's really no thought given to their salvation or to their soul. So many people live like a sheep, just wandering out in the desert, not really thinking about the next life or even this life and their accountability to God. There is a term now in our culture called extended adolescence. And it just means that many people in our culture are not growing up until, sometimes even until their mid-30s or later. And some counselors even use this to say that they never really grow up and hit those defining marks of adulthood. They just want to live off of someone else's money and play and live in adolescence, which is those years from 13 to 18, perpetually. Aimlessness. Spending their life focused upon video games and pleasure and fun and drinking and all those things. It's not always that they're so wicked. It's just that they are aimless with no purpose in life.
The lost are aimless. But notice, the coin was lost because it had been misplaced by its owner. It was misled.
It was lost. It was a possession that was a coin that was had by its owner, but it was put in the wrong place. It had been forgotten about. It was not taken care of. Now think about how many people in our world are lost because they have been misled. They are basing their faith upon the faith of their parents. Maybe they're basing their lack of faith because of the lack of faith of their parents. Maybe even in a broader sense, you think about all the massive millions and yea billions that are misled by their world religion and the false teaching of their world religion, which denies Jesus and doesn't worship Christ. Think about how many people are misled. Even in churches all across America today, many people are misled by false teaching. And maybe it's a scattering in of truth, but it's also mixed with the lack of complete whole counsel truth from God's Word. Misled, misplaced. Many are lost because they are following the wrong leaders. Jesus said, "Let the blind follow the blind, and they will fall into the same ditch." He called the Pharisees blind guides. They're leading the children of Israel. They were leading the Jews of his day. And he said they were blind leaders of the blind. And they're both going to fall in the ditch in Matthew 15, 14. They were misled or misplaced. But then there are those like the prodigal son in Luke 15 who is simply selfish. Notice he goes to his father and he says in verse 12, "Give me the share of property that is coming to me." And not many days later, verse 13, the younger son gathered all that he had, took a journey into the far country, and there he squandered his property, listen to this, in reckless living. And when he had spent everything.
So many are lost because they just want to do what they want to do. They want to live it up. They want to have pleasure. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to be subject to the laws of Jesus, to the teachings of Jesus. They don't want the restrictions of Christ.
They want to be able to to make love as it is with who they want to make love with. They want to be able to engage in a financial practices the way they want to engage in financial practices and be greedy about money. They want to enjoy all the pleasures of life, and they want to enjoy the physical substances of life that often hinder our mind, like drugs and alcohol. They want to do what they want to do. What the Bible here calls reckless living. Selfishness. The lost are aimless, misled, and selfish. But then, and maybe this one often hits closer to us in church today, the older brother who was self-righteous, after the younger son had returned home, notice down at the end of the passage, 25 and following, the older son, we might say, gets pouty. He gets upset. When he hears the music and the dancing, he called one of the servants. He says, "What are these things? What's going on?" Verse 27, he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." And he was angry and he refused to go in. Jesus is no doubt aiming this part of the story at these Pharisees and these scribes who were self-righteous in their legalism, and who looked down with a snobby, we might say, nose, and who looked upon their fellow man with condescending attitudes. And they focused upon their outward works and what they did in the streets praying and how they fasted and how righteous they were. And remember, Jesus told the parable of the publican. He said the one Pharisee stood and said how great of a man he was. And the publican went down and said, beat his breast and said, "God, forgive me, I'm a sinner." And it's the publican that went home justified. You see, the lost are the self-righteous. But notice our stories go on. God's grace is shown throughout these stories. God's grace is shown in the shepherd in Luke 15. Because the shepherd, we know the story, we tell it to our little children, don't we, in Bible class. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And he seeks the one. And when he finds the one, he throws him on his shoulders and he brings him home. And notice it says there is rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing over the one. The 99 are saved. But when we found the lost one, there's rejoicing. He's the shepherd who goes looking for his lost sheep. He is the owner who searches diligently. The text says, this woman who owned the coin, she seeks diligently. She swept the house. She looked diligently for this coin that had been lost. The point is, our owner, God, seeks diligently for us. But then notice, he is also the Father who waits daily looking for the Son to return home. And when the Son does return home, he runs. The text says he runs to him and falls upon him and hugs him and has compassion upon him and rejoices, kills the fatted calf, puts the robe upon him, puts the ring upon his hand, and they celebrate. But when his older son gets upset about it, what does he do? Notice the text says he goes out and he entreats. He goes back out and he entreats his older son. He talks to him about it. And the father would say to him, "Look, these many years I have served you," or the son says, "I've served you, I've never disobeyed you." But notice what the father says. "But when this son of yours came, he's devoured your property and prostitute, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He's lost and is found." So in three images, the image of a shepherd, the image of an owner, and the image of a father, Jesus describes our God seeking and looking and searching for the lost. And so note,
God is passionate for the lost. He's passionate for you. He searches, he waits, and he runs to you. But our story isn't over there,
because the lost, we see in these stories, the lost has some responsibility. You see, the lost must realize. Look at verse 17 in the story of the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?" He was doing the lowest job for a Jewish man to be doing, feeding the pigs. But what is even lower about this is they fed the pigs before they did him. They valued the pigs more than him in that they gave the pigs food first, and he ate with them and the leftovers. Think about that. And he came to himself. He realized, look at the condition I'm in. Look at the state of my life. I'm at the bottom of the barrel, we might say. And he came to himself. Let me pause right here.
Make sure everybody hears me.
Probably the greatest problem in America today, according to Josh Ketchum, is not that people don't know Jesus is their Savior. It is that they don't know they are lost. You see, because if you don't know you're lost, if you don't know that you need a Savior, then you're not where you can seek a Savior. And you don't see the necessity of a Savior. And so many people in our world, and it seems across our culture, has bought into the idea that it's almost a watered-down universalism, that as long as you have a mental belief in Jesus, that all are going to be saved. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do in life. And what this passage is teaching us is that people are lost, and Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And that the lost people are without God and without hope and are on their way to hell. And their only hope is through the grace of God. But in order for people to avail themselves of that grace, they must first come to themselves. They must first realize that they are lost. They must first wake up and realize, I have sinned. The three hardest words for many to say, yea, maybe all of us to say, is I have sinned. I've sinned. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit in John 16 was going to be sent through the Word to convict the world of sin. In Acts chapter 2, the people could not respond and say, what must we do, until they were first pricked or cut in their heart. We have to be pricked and cut in our heart and realize that we have sinned, that it's our sin that put Christ on the cross. It is our sin that we need to repent of. It is our sin that will send us to hell. It is that we are lost and we are in judgment of the wrath of God. That we are sheep lost. That we are a coin misplaced. That we're a reckless, prodigal, rebellious son. Or we're a self-righteous older brother pointing our finger at everybody else. We're lost. We have to realize that.
And it's once we realize that we can then resolve.
Notice verses 18 and 19. We can then resolve. He says, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose. There's a lot of people that live with the realization that they've sinned and they are lost. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that. But you allow Satan to whisper in your ear, don't do it now. Don't change now. If you change now, you won't be able to enjoy that pleasure you've been enjoying. If you change now, what will your friends at work say? If you change now, what will your parents say? Don't do it now. Just put it off. Look, it's already getting late in church service.
the rest of the people don't want to be delayed. I mean, we got to get to this to meal. Don't do it now. You see, it's one thing to realize. It's another thing to resolve. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to tell my father I've sinned. And I'm going to ask him to take me back in as a servant. You see, we've got to resolve.
And then that leads to the third and last point,
is that we've got to be willing to repent. And so in verses 22, when he came home, the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found." And they began to celebrate. Repentance is the living out of the decision we made when we resolved to serve God. Repentance is no longer walking in the aimlessness, the misledness, the selfishness, and the self-righteousness of before. Repentance is focused upon Jesus and celebrating each day in the grace that he offers. And so note, what was their reaction? Back to verses 1 and 2. When these sinners and tax collectors and Pharisees and scribes, when they heard these three marvelous stories, what was their reaction? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. We might assume that many missed the point. I mean, it just went right over them. I didn't quite get what they were saying. Probably happened to a lot of people that day. We might assume that many were probably defensive. They got what he was saying. That they were the lost sheep, the lost coin, or the lost son. But they got defensive about it. And some probably learned and followed Christ, became his disciple. This morning, are you lost? Receive grace for the lost. If you need to respond and put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, if you need to resolve and repent this morning, Christ stands ready. The Father will run to you. The Father is seeking you. And the angels and heaven and this church will rejoice when you come home. Come us together, we stand and sing.